Thank y'all. Can you take that? Yeah, all right. Well, today we're going to just real quickly have a real quick talk here, guys. Today is the fourth Sunday of the month. It's a teen day when our teens meet. So let's just all have a teen meeting right now. Is that okay? We'll just have a teen class all together. Is that cool? Y'all want to do it?
Let's do
it. All right.
It.
We always start out with a game. Are you ready? Here's the game. We're going to have Bible trivia to start off our teen class today. So we're going to have a competition. We're going to have section A, B, C, and D are the different teams. And I need you to make one spokesperson for each section. Okay, so choose one person to be the spokesperson. This is going to be easy and fast, y'all. All right, don't panic, okay? One spokesperson for each side. Give me trivia question number one. Trivia question number one for side A. Who was this? The youngest of eight sons. He's a military leader, anointed king of Israel. He was a poet and a musician. You got, don't wait. It's section A's question, okay? Section A's question. All right. Section B's question. Second youngest of 12 sons, really liked coats, became second in command of Egypt, and had a gift of interpreting dreams. All right, section 3, your question is, this person was both a Roman citizen and Jewish. He was temporarily blinded. He spent a lot of time in prison, and he persecuted Christians. Promise? We got it. Okay, that's for section 3. Section D, your question is, okay, here you go, promise, you ready? He was forced to serve a bad king. He was gifted in interpreting dreams. He didn't mind furnaces or lions, and he really liked vegetables. Okay, all right, back to question one. What's your answer, spokesperson? David, very nice. All right, good job. Second question, number two, who was this one? Joseph, very good. Number three, Saul/Paul. Yes, very good. All right. And number four, promise, Daniel. Yes, it was Daniel. All right, very good. So I'm going to give you just a brief devotional, like I would the teens, on a Bible verse. This Bible verse is 1 Timothy 4:12. Okay, 1 Timothy 4:12. It says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. But set an example for the believers in speech and conduct and love and faith and in purity." And this verse was actually on the back of a young person's t-shirt from another church at our camp. So a really cool verse for young people to learn from. So in the context of this Bible verse in Timothy, Paul is writing to Timothy. He's a young pastor, and he's teaching him how to be a pastor, giving him advice on how to run his church. Now, theologians think that Timothy may have been as old as up to 40, but that's still pretty young in the pastor's scheme of things, definitely young in my world. Depending on how young that is to you, we won't discuss. But it says, don't let anyone look down on you. Now, a person in today's world can look at that and go, yeah, I agree with that. You better not look down on me. Who are you to judge? I'll be me. I know who I am. You don't know me, and you're not allowed to judge me. Only God can be my judge, and I can do whatever I want. That is not what Paul is telling Timothy. Okay, young people will grab onto that, and you do hear it in society. That is not what Paul is saying. So let's be careful. Paul is saying, don't let them look down on you. Instead, give them something to look at. Give them something, okay? So, okay, is this only applied to young people? What if you're a person who's been at your job for a while like me, and somebody else comes and joins your team, and they're young, and they're new, and they're inexperienced? Do you look down on them for being new? Do they experience people looking down on them for their lack of experience? They probably do. So this verse, although it's written to Timothy, and we apply it to young people, in actuality, it can be applied to all of us, and we can all learn something from this. It applies to young and old alike, anyone who looks down on you for anything whatsoever. And there's a lot of people we can think about, like a teacher, a sibling, an older sibling. What about in-laws? Anybody, don't raise your hand. If you have in-laws that look down on you for whatever reason, they could be younger or older, a boss, or a competitor in sports. You see it all the time in competition. Don't let those people look down on you, but set an example for the believers. There's a but in there, and it's a big but, y'all. So we need to look at what he's saying. But set an example in speech. In speech. How do we call set an example in speech? First, let's look over to Jeremiah. What does Jeremiah do first? He's nervous about his speech in chapter 1. He's like, God, I don't know the words to say. What does the Lord tell him? The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And then Jeremiah says, alas, sovereign Lord, I don't know how to speak. I'm too young. You think people probably told him he's too young to speak. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm too young. You must go everywhere I send you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them. I am with you and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. God's going to be with you, young people, and people new at your job, and people who have in-laws to look down on you. If you're asking God for help, he promises to be with you and to rescue you. Then the Lord reached out his hand, touched my mouth, and he said to me, I've put my words in your mouth. See, today I anoint you over nations and kingdoms, uproot and tear down and destroy, overthrow, build and plant. I give you the power to do what I am going to will for your life. Because you asked me, and I'll give you the words. However, that doesn't mean to freely use our mouth how we want, because over in James, he says, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Guys, the power of our tongue can change the world, can change the circle of influence around us. Think of every hurtful thing you felt from someone else was probably expressed through their mouth. And so that's where we need to be aware of. Think and pray about what we say before we say it. That's how we set an example in our speech. He also says, be an example in conduct. In conduct, what we do. So let's look at the example in Daniel. Daniel chapter 3. You've heard the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were young Israelites, or probably in their 20s. They were in captivity in Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar wanted some service of some young men, and he made a rule that he made a statue, and if you didn't bow down to that statue when he said to, when he played the music, you would be put to death. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel weren't going to do that because it would dishonor their Lord, their God, that do not have other gods before me. They risked being burned alive in order to honor their God, to maintain a holy conduct. They knew that bowing down would dishonor their God and not be a good example of their faith in God. So what happened? They didn't bow down. They were thrown into the fiery furnace that was heated to 7 times its normal heat because Nebuchadnezzar was upset. Like, he was mad. He was prideful. And not a hair on them was singed. In fact, Nebuchadnezzar says that he saw the 3 men and a fourth that looked like a son of the gods. Jesus was in the fire with them. God promises that when you stay holy in your conduct, he will go through it with you and reward you. So what happens at the end? Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or any language who say anything about their God will be cut into pieces and their houses turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way. He completely reversed, still maintained his anger and his violence, but he acknowledged God is the God of the universe. The king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. God rewarded their obedience. All right, thirdly, be an example in love. Love is the agape form of love that's used here. And it means a godly type of love that's hard for us to convey. It means loving your enemies. It means praying for those who persecute you. 1 Corinthians 13 describes this love. Love is patient and kind. It does not envy, does not boast, is not proud, does not honor others, does not dishonor others, not self-seeking, not easily angered, and keeps no record of wrongs. In other words, whether you feel like it or not, be patient, be kind, be satisfied with your own. Don't brag. Don't hurt others. Don't seek praise. Only get angry when necessary and when it honors God. And don't hold grudges. It's really, really hard. The fourth one he says is to be an example in faith. This refers to trusting God through every aspect of your life. It's what the entirety of God's word is about. It's about trusting God and trusting his promises through everything we go to in life. In Romans 10, chapter 17, he says, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. By reading God's word, by studying it, by meditating on God's word is how we build our faith, and by circling yourself with other people who encourage your faith. And we talked with our teenagers at camp about this extensively. Guys, you are the average, or will become the average, of the five people you spend the most time with. And that's not just for young people. That's for all people. So choose wisely who you're hanging out with. They will influence you, and you will influence them. Be the one who's strong. Be the one who's going to influence them. But don't intentionally hang out with people who are bad influences on you. You all mesh together into a single type of person. So be aware of who you're hanging out with, and hang out with people who will build up your faith and not compromise it and not tear it down. So important. If you can get that and make that a priority young in your life, man, it changes everything. For decades, it will change your life. Be an example in purity. All right, let's go back to Daniel. This one in chapter 1, at the beginning of Daniel's captivity. His friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are all taken. And they first must take the test of being built up and trained. And so what they did in the Babylonian era is they would feed their soldiers that are captive to serve forced to serve the king, and they fed them choice meats and vegetables and wine. And so Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel said, no, that's going to compromise our faith and following the Jewish laws that we were raised up to follow. We love our Lord. We're not going to compromise our integrity and eat this food that you've given us. So they rejected it. Their jailer actually agreed to only offer them vegetables and water. And so they said, let's test it for 10 days and see how healthy you are. Because ideally, you're going to be emaciated at the end of the 10 days. But at the end of day 10, verse 15, at the end of 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge, understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. They remained pure, and God rewarded them for it. So, being young, new, or inexperienced doesn't mean you don't have an influence. You can absolutely be an influence. You don't need to know a lot of stuff to teach a lot of stuff. You can teach through your examples of your life. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy. But it's not just for young people. It's for those of us who are not exactly green shoots anymore as well. Being new, being introduced to something new, let's also show an example through our life and give them something to look at. Instead of looking down on us because of something we can't help, let's help ourselves and give them something to be inspired by. Also, for those of us who aren't so young anymore, we have the flip side. And so I asked you a question about Saul, who later became Paul. Saul was a person who was highly respected. He was Orthodox Jewish. Man, he knew everything in the Jewish religion, and he was highly respected, and he was appointed to hunt down Christians. Do you think he looked down on some Christians, on some young Christians? I think he did. So let's be aware of what God did with Saul, changing his name to Paul, and then changing the world through the letters and epistles that he sent, through the church that he built. And now we're literally still studying his writings, many, many of his writings in the New Testament. God can do amazing things through people who incorrectly judge others later. So let's all evaluate ourselves. If you're a person who's got a lot of experience, are you a person who's looking down on others who don't? And if you are, maybe we should consider, what is God going to do with that young person, with that person with limited experience? It's not up to us to judge their capabilities, because God's got a plan for everybody. We all need to keep that in mind, all right? It's in sports, in education, at work, in your capabilities, whatever you're achieving. When new people come along, keep in mind how God views them instead of how we view them. So the big idea we're talking about today, and I use simple speak like I would to the teenagers, but look, if they're going to talk, I'll show them what to talk about, okay? Let's all say that together. Maybe we can remember it. All right, 1, 2, 3. If they're going to talk, I'll show them what to talk about, all right? Let's give them an example. Give them something to say. Instead of saying that person's young, they don't know what they're talking about, say, yeah, that person's young, but they're kind and they're loving and they're a person of high morals. They don't compromise their integrity. They conduct themselves well. Keep that but in there, okay? It's necessary. There's a fact about you you can't help, and then everything else you can. And it's important for us to keep that in mind. So the big question I have is, what does your life and mine say about us and who we are following? What does our life say about us and who we're following? And it's a big question, it's a deep question, and something that we need to remember and think about. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to study your word, to open it. Thank you for the opportunity to be an impact to young people. And mostly, thanks for allowing them to impact us. The young people that we see here are touched by you. And whenever they listen to your word and they're open to moving in response to you, those of us who have been around a while are always astonished, surprised, and reminded of how good you are and how you can move in the most unexpected ways. So remind us, God, as we go forth this week and beyond, to remember that the people that we may be tempted to look down upon have incredible potential, and it's all from you. May we remember, and may we remember to be examples of the example that you set through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.